This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. All praise and thanks belong to Allah the Most High, the Exalted. We thank Him and we seek His help and aid and ask Him to forgive us. And we seek His protection from the evil of ourselves and the sins that we commit. Indeed, whomsoever Allah guides, no one can lead astray. And whomsoever Allah leads astray, no one can guide. And I bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah alone. And that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave and messenger. The best of speech is the book of Allah. And the best of guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the worst of religious matters are those that are innovated. And every religious innovation is a bid'ah. And every bid'ah is misguidance. Every misguidance will be in hellfire. Amma ba'd. One of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tell us about that belong to the realm of al-ghayb, the unseen, the hidden world, is al-ayn and al-hasad, envy. And believing in them belongs into the belief of al-ghayb. What had been removed from our senses, not completely, entirely, but had been removed from our senses, that we do not fully understand and fully comprehend. You cannot really take this. How someone gets envied and gets treated. How does envy work? You can't take this into a lab, analyze it and study it. But we believe in it, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he speaks, he told us that it is true, as in the hadith. And if you believe the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you will believe in what he had said, even though your senses, your experiments, your human knowledge is not fully able to recognize and analyze and understand how does this work and how does it affect an individual. And I said it's not completely, or it does not belong entirely to the world of ghaib. Because subhanAllah, sometimes you can see its effect. You can see someone falling ill. And there is no physical, medical reason for their illness. And they get treated through the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and through ruqya, and they heal. Sometimes almost immediately. And that can tell us, that verifies, that validates what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had spoken about. And before we engage in this khutbah that is trying, inshaAllah, to elaborate on the reality of hasad, ayn, and envy, why they happen, how they happen, how you can protect yourself from them, and how you can treat yourself, there are some caveats that we need to mention. Because people, when it comes to this topic, they can go to both extremes. There is the first extreme where you become paranoid. Of course, after you hear all of the things that we mentioned and more, you become paranoid. And you start assuming that everything that is happening to you, every bad thing that is happening to you, is because of envy. And you start also suspecting people who are around you. A business deal fails or endeavor, I'm not doing well at school, there's something wrong in my marriage with my children, etc., etc. You immediately blame someone for envying you. Oh, that's the fault of envy. And the problem with that, of course, is first of all, it makes you paranoid. And you exaggerate the influence of envy in your life. And also, it harms you in the sense that you'll not be able to detect sometimes the real reason behind problems in your life. There might be some physical and medical reason behind your illness. Some social and emotional reasons behind the problems that you're facing in your family. Some financial reasons, lack of planning, that had forced some mistakes into your life, brought some mistakes into your life. So when you think that everything is the fault of envy, you fail to take care of the other reasons that are causing you pain in your life. So that's one extreme. And you're going to end up isolating yourself and of course exaggerating the influence of that thing in your life and not trusting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the protection that He's offering to you. On the other extreme are people who deny its influence. Live their life as if it's not going to affect them, or actually believe it has no reality in Islam. No one can envy you. No one can harm you by simply just looking at you and envying whatever you have. So you have to seek a middle path, and that is what Islam is, a middle path. Now from the Quran, as the support that envy actually exists, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that Yaqub alayhi salam instructs his children when they're going to enter the city, أدخلوا لا تدخلوا من باب واحد وادخلوا من أبواب متفرقة, He instructs them, do not enter all from the same gate, but spread out and enter from different gates and doors. You go to the tafsir, and they explain, what is this haja in the chest of Yaqub that he wanted to fulfill? They said that he was afraid that they'll be envied. When all of them, these children enter, 11 or so, are going to enter from one gate, and they were beautiful and handsome, and healthy and well built. If all of them are going to enter from one gate, they said that he was afraid people will envy them. In another ayah in Surah Al-Qalam, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the non-believers, وَإِيَّكَادُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَيُزْلِقُونَكَ بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ لَمَّا سَمِعُوا الذِّكْرِ, the non-believers looking at you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, were about to cause you to fall, to bring harm to you. You go to the tafsir and they said that one of these harms that they were to bring about Muhammad to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to envy him, to cause him harm through envy. And you can go to Tafsir al-Qurtubi as one example, and he will tell you and mention to you some stories about ancient traditional or ancient tribes of the Arabs and some individuals who were well known to be enviers, that they could envy someone or something and bring it down just by a look. It was well known among them, well documented among them. Now when you go to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, for instance, and all of these hadiths are sihah, He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إن العين حق ولو كان شيء سابق القدر سبقته العين. He says, indeed, عين, envy, is true. And if there were to be something that would outstrip, compete with Allah's destiny, and move ahead of it, if there were to be something like that, it would be عين. It would be envy. Meaning that the Prophet ﷺ was telling you what in this hadith? It's telling you obviously that envy, when it happens, it's part of Allah's destiny. But just to tell you about its strength and potency, if there were to be anything that could compete with Allah's destiny, it would be al-ayn. And someone here might ask, if envy is part of Allah's destiny, it's not outside of it, everything that happens to you and me is part of Allah's destiny. If it is part of Allah's destiny, and it is, why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow it to happen? And the answer, inshallah, is very simple. This is very much like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving any human the ability to carry any weapon in their hand and go and hurt any other human being. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow that to happen? This is a test for the aggressor and a test for the victim. For the aggressor to see if you have that power, will you do it? Or will you restrain yourself, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and stop harming others? And take the precautions needed, and we'll talk about them inshallah, take the precautions needed so that you don't envy and harm any other human being. Will you do this or not? And as for the victim, this is also a test for him. Like any other affliction in your life, whether the causes are natural or through someone's eye, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see. Will you be patient? Will you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seeking help and medication? How will you react? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowing envy is like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowing any other affliction, except that this happens through a particular method or means, and other things happen through other particular methods and means. But they're not different. To tell you also about the strength of envy, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إن العين لتدخل الرجل القبر والجمل القدر. He says, عين, envy, indeed, can put a man in his grave and a camel in the pot. So it affects not only humans, but also animals. And it can kill another human, and it can kill animals. And it can extend, its effect extends also to non-living beings. Or another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الْعَيْنَ لَتَسْتَنْزِلُ الْحَالِقِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ. Indeed, عَيْن, envy, can bring down a mountain. That's how strong it is. And finally, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَكْثَرُ مَنْ يَمُوتُ مِنْ أُمَّتِي بَعْدَ قَضَاءِ اللَّهِ وَقَدَرِهِ بِالْعَيْنِ. He says, most of my ummah who die after qada'ullahi wa qadari, after Allah's decrees, meaning natural causes, after natural causes, most of my ummah die because of envy, because of al-ayn, subhanAllah. So there are natural causes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destined that so-and-so is going to be killed in an accident with a disease, this and that, whatever it is. But after these natural causes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us that the reason why a lot of people die is because of envy. So and so, for instance, could be healthy. All of a sudden they become sick and they die. So and so, driving, all of a sudden they get into accidents. One after the other. Something happens to the marriage, something happens to the children, etc., etc., etc. Of course, not everything, again, not everything that happens to us is because of envy. Remember that. But there are cases, subhanAllah, in the past and even in the present, where people become sick. They go to the doctor. They look for any physical reason that can explain the sickness. Any medicine that can actually cure them. There is nothing. Nothing to explain it. Nothing to cure it. And it's not one or two or three or four stories. Many. But subhanAllah, they go and they start their ruqya, seeking the medication from the Quran and the Sunnah of his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and sometimes immediately and sometimes after some time they get healed, and some of them completely. And that tells you, validates what the Prophet ﷺ said, that not everything that happens to you has physical reasons behind it. There are non-physical reasons that take place that you have to be aware of. Now we want to see the difference, and this is some of the ulama distinguish between hasad and ayn. And it's important really to note the difference. They say the difference between hasad and ayn is as follows. The first difference is that hasad, there's an evil intent behind it. You hate that other person or what they have. And you wish for them to lose it. That's what hasad is. They say ayn, on the other hand, doesn't have that wish. You can have ayn, and English does not allow us to differentiate, so I'm just going to use the Arabic of hasad and ayn to actually distinguish between the two. Ayn, you can actually afflict someone that you love. You can afflict yourself with ayn. So actually you don't hate yourself, you don't hate your children, you don't hate your wife, you don't hate your money. Inshallah, shortly we'll see the evidence for it. But you can afflict them with that when you don't mention Allah's name. When you admire them, when you admire yourself. So, hasad has hatred behind it, ayn does not. Hasad is not only about the eyes. You can hear about something that is not even around you. Something that is not in reality yet, but will be accomplished later. And you can envy it. That's what hasad is. So it's not limited to the eye. Hasad is more general in that sense. You can have hasad with things that you even just hear, listen to. Ayn, on the other hand, you must see that thing. That's why it's called ayn, the eye. You must see that thing. It must be in your presence, and that means it must be in reality existing. It's not a future thing that's going to happen. It's not far away from you. It's right there in front of you. How do you protect yourself from all of this? The first thing is your adhkar and your ruqyah. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Ta'awwadhu min al-'ayn fa inna al-'ayn haqq." Seek Allah's refuge from envy, because it is a reality. So one of the things that you do is to continue to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from protection from envy. And you do that also for your children, who can't yet understand or repeat or memorize the dua. You do it for your children. And the Prophet ﷺ used to do it for his grandchildren, Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn radiyallahu anhumah. He used to say, "U'idhukuma bi kalimati Allahi tamma min kulli shaytanin wa hamma wa min kulli aynin lamma." He used to say, "I seek Allah's protection for you from kulli shaytanin wa hamma, from every shaytan and a poisonous being. مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْطَانٍ وَهَامَّ وَمِنْ كُلِّ عَيْنٍ لَامَّ." And from every harmful eye. So I seek Allah's protection in His perfect words for you from all of these things. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Indeed your father Ibrahim alayhi salam used to repeat this dua for his children, Ismail and Ishaq alayhim as-salam." So you do it for yourself, but you also do it for your children. Up until a time when they can start repeating these ad'iyah for themselves. So you protect yourself and you protect your children. How do you protect yourself? On a more regular basis, you have to adhere to, I emphasize this, you have to adhere to the adhkar of the morning and the evening and before you go to bed. When you open any book of dua, authentic supplications of the Prophet ﷺ that have the du'as in them, you will see indeed a section there. Adhkar al-sabah, adhkar al-masa. The morning adhkar, the evening adhkar, adhkar before you go to bed. If you continue bi-idhnillah to adhere to all of them, it will take you 5 minutes, not more. 5 minutes before Maghrib. 5 minutes after your Fajr prayer, 5 minutes before you go to bed. And you read all of them. And you will see, subhanAllah, when you read it, seek the meaning. Seek the meaning so that you understand what you're saying. And the mu'awwidhat are involved in them. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. You keep repeating them throughout these times. And there are other supplication in them that if you keep doing that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will offer you protection throughout your day. So even though someone may try to envy you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep protecting you. But here, be aware that your protection increases the more that you're aware of what you're saying and you believe in it. So if you are aware, you're conscious of what you're saying, and you believe in it, your protection will be better and stronger. If not, it will be weaker, but at least adhere to it if you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection. The other thing that you can do, whenever you see something that you admire in yourself, family, or that someone else has, pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives it barakah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "إذا رأى أحدكم من نفسه وأخيه وماله ما يعجبه فليبرك فإن العين حق." He says, "If you see something that you admire in yourself, in your wealth, with someone else, ask for barakah for it. For indeed, عين is a reality." And from that, some of the ulama have deduced that you can actually affect yourself with it. So sometimes, subhanAllah, you look at yourself in the mirror and you admire what you say, or what you see. Ask for barakah. Allahumma barik fi, Allahumma barik alay, barik Allahumma li fi kada wa kada. Whatever you say, ya Allah bless this and that. You look at your children and you admire them. You look at your house, you look at your car, whatever you possess. And also, you see something that someone else has. Pray for barakah for them. Pray for barakah for them. And the last precaution that we can take, and by the way, subhanAllah, it's not only that Muslims suffer from envy. The kuffar also suffer from it, but they don't recognize it. They cannot detect it. A Muslim can envy a non-Muslim can envy a Muslim. They say even a jinn can envy the ins. The jinn can envy humans as well. So it can come from anywhere. So the last thing also that you want to take care of, as a precaution to protect you from envy, is to actually rid yourself of envy, cleanse yourself internally from envy. Because envying someone else is a sin. Envying someone else and causing them so much harm is sin. And it means that there is this hatred and animosity and being discontented with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given you. So you want to actually rid yourself from that. And know that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given is appropriate for every single human being. Don't transgress. Don't become an aggressor. Don't wish someone harm, because actually it could happen. And their life could be very miserable because of it. And on the Day of Judgment, they will find out what you have done, and they will take and seek retribution from you. So if you feel that you have done that in the past, make dua for that other person. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you. And work with earnest on your heart so that you never envy someone else as long as you live until you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us be of those people. Ameen. Asqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfiru Allah li wa lakum. الحمد لله رب العالمين حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه وأصلي وأسلم على رسوله محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. There is precaution, but someone may actually be afflicted with envy. What they should do? How could they seek treatment for it? Well, the first thing, as the Prophet ﷺ said in some of the hadith that we heard, you seek ruqya for it. You seek Allah's protection and refuge from it. And there are many a hadith that tell us that. For one of them, Jibreel alayhi salam came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, "Ya Muhammad ishtakayt." Muhammad, are you hurting? Are you afflicted? Are you sick? And he said, "Yes." And he said, "Bismillahi arqiq min kulli da'in yu'dhik min kulli ayn min kulli nafsin aw aynin aw hasidin Allahu yashfiq bismillahi arqiq." So he said alayhi salam to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Bismillahi arqiq, with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I seek his protection for you from anything that will harm you." Right? From anything that will harm you. From kulli nafsin wa aynin wa hasidin Allahu yashfiq. From every soul, from every ayn, from every hasid, Allah will cure you. Bismillahi arqiq. So this is, was a ruqya from Jibreel alayhi salam to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded people to give some ruqya. Asma ibn Umays radiyallahu anha, who was the wife of Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, she comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she said that إِنَّ الْعَيْنَ تُسْفِعُ إِلَىٰ أَبْنَاءِ Ja'far. She said that ayn, envy, indeed rushes to the children of Ja'far. Should I give them some ruqya? And he said yes. In another hadith, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam noticed this and he said, why do I see them sickly? Why do I see them suffering, the children of Ja'far, as if they are sick, as if they have no food to eat? Dari'een. كَأَنَّ بِهِمُ الْحَاجَةِ, as if they don't have enough to eat. But Asma radiallahu anha said, no, nothing of that has happened, but they're being envied a lot. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said what? He said, give them ruqya so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects them. Also in another hadith, he saw a young girl and there was something on her face, biha saf'a, a change of color, like a black color on her face. And he said, inna biha nadra, there is something, there's an eye, there's an evil eye there that had afflicted her, give ruqya to her. So what is this ruqya? This ruqya is what you will find in the Qur'an. And what you will find in the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we can't go through it at all. But the mu'awwidat, al-fatiha, other parts of the Qur'an, al-baqarah, the last part of al-baqarah, whatever it is, you read it for yourself, for your children, if you believe, if you suspect that you've been envied. And also whatever is an authentic ruqya that you will find in the books of dua, emphasized authentic, and it's from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because what is there is enough. You don't need something invented. You need to know, don't need something that somebody else had made up. What is in the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is complete. So take that and repeat it and keep repeating it until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cures you from that. So this is one way of doing it. There's another way. And that is when you actually know who the person, who the envier is. When you know who the envier is. And there is that incident at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is a man that is by the name of Sahl ibn Hunayf. And they're on this journey with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So then they passed by a body of water. So he took off his clothes just to bathe. And he had a beautiful body. Amir ibn Rabi'ah looked at him. And he said, how beautiful this is. Just that, how beautiful this is. Almost immediately he fell ill. After what he had said, he fell ill immediately. Then they reported that to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they said, "O Prophet of Allah, he can't continue his journey with us. He's so sick." So the Prophet comes to Sahl ibn Hunayf, asks him, "What happened?" And another hadith it says, "Who do you suspect has done this?" And they said, "Amir ibn Rabi'ah said this." And afterwards, this person, Sahl, fell ill. So he said, عَلَى مَا يَقْتُلُ أَحَدُكُمْ صَاحِبَهُ. Why are you killing each other? If you see something that you admire from someone else, فَلْيُبَرِّكْ عَلَيْهِ. Ask Allah for barakah. You see someone, something, children, whatever that is cute, you like, whatever it is. First thing that you see when you want to admire it, may Allah put barakah in it. Because you don't want to envy this person. You don't want to envy that thing. Seek barakah for it. Then what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? He asked Amir ibn Rabi'ah. He asked him, he said, come, wash your face in a basin, wash your face, wash your hands to the elbows, wash your knees. Take your inner garment, dakhilatul izar, inner garment, and dip it in the water. Then he said, take that water and pour it on Sahl ibn Hunayf from his head from the back. On his head from the back. And they said, when they did that, Sahl ibn Hunayf was cured immediately. And he continued on the journey with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they said that, if you can do this, if you know, without being overly suspicious, if you know who the person who may be responsible for that, you can go to them and say, we suspect, we're not sure. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَإِذَا اسْتُغْسِلْتُمْ فَغْسِلُوا. If you're asked to bathe, bathe. This is a command from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is, if your brother, if your sister suspects that you may have said something that is causing their pain, and they're asking you to bathe, bathe for their sake.
You may be completely innocent, but bathe for their sake so that they can find out this, so they can be cured. Not even find out who did it, but they can be cured so that their suffering could stop. And the fact that you could be responsible doesn't mean that you're a vile person. Doesn't mean that you are, subhanAllah, a sinful person. Amir ibn Rabi'ah, who actually was accused of that and who caused it, is one of the earliest companions who believed in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and part of the people who witnessed the battle of Badr. You can't get any better than that. But it could happen. You may not wish this person harm, but it could happen when you admire something that this could be the effect. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if you're asked, be compliant. Now if you can't and a person rejects all of this, what you can do is you can take some of their trace, something that they touch, some of their clothes. Take it, wipe it, dip it in water, and then give it to the afflicted person, the envied person, so that they can pour it upon themselves, they can drink it, and bi-idhnillah azza wa jal, they can get better. So finally, bi-idhnillah, what I want to say and conclude with is the following. It may not be envy. You may suspect it to be envy, and there is no harm in you actually doing ruqya for yourself. Do it, and believe in it, and the more that you believe in it, the more that it will help you, bi-idhnillah. You can go and seek a mu'alij, a raqi, someone who will do this for you. But if you're selecting this person, you have to be careful that they are on the right aqidah. They're not using anything outside the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They're not using any shirk in whatever they are, using whatever ruqya that they are repeating. And they're not using any jinn. Because it doesn't help. Only complicates the issue. If you're going to someone and he starts telling you, so-and-so has envied you, and he's there, and he looks like this and that, stop going to this person. How do you know all of this? Right? So you want someone who will seek your treatment through the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then also, finally, I'll say, be patient. Sometimes, the cure comes immediately. In the same day, in the same week, and sometimes it takes time. And it's all up to the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His mercy. So if you are tested like that, be patient and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and don't be overly paranoid. If you stick to these adhkar continuously, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us all from envy and any other evil. Ya Allah, we ask you to protect us and our families and all Muslims from envy and any other people. Ya Allah, do not make us enviers or envied. Ya Allah, do not make us enviers or envied. Ya Allah, do not make us enviers or envied. Ya Allah, if we are afflicted, make us of those who seek treatment with you. Ya Allah, make us of those who rely completely upon you. Ya Allah, make us of those who trust you completely. And we ask you, Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to alleviate any pain we have. Ya Allah, if any of us is envied, Ya Allah, take that envy away. Ya Rabbal Alameen, if anyone is envied, that we know, us, or that we know, or that we love, Ya Allah, take that envy away. And Ya Allah, rid our hearts of hasad. Ya Allah, cleanse our hearts from hasad. Ya Allah, cleanse our hearts of hasad. And purify them and put love there instead. Ya Allah, we ask you for all the good in this life and in the hereafter. And we seek your protection from all evil in this life and in the hereafter. And we ask you for heaven and everything that will bring us near to it. And we seek your protection from hellfire and everything that will bring us near to it. Allahumma atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. Allahumma a'inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Allahumma ya muqallib al-qulub thabbit qulubana ala دينك. اللهم يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين وأقم الصلاة